invitations over this time of year, we thought we'd check in with Nancy Schnoblin-Ims from STLPolish.com so we can talk about wedding and shower etiquette. Nancy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jennifer. This is a fun topic and an important one as well. So happy that we're able to speak on this today.
So let's talk about some of the questions that come up for you.
Mm-hmm. Lots of questions. First of all, when you receive an invitation, people will say, gosh, you know, I think we can make it. Maybe we're planning a vacation that time, so I'm just going to hold out. When you receive an invitation, reply in a timely manner and pay attention to that RSVP date because it is not arbitrary. The bride and groom work so hard to make the event not only special for them, but for their guests. So they need to have a count when they're considering food or seating. Lots of different things go into play. So I would say one of the top questions I receive is, can I hold off and wait for, you know, for a month or so? No, be good about it and figure out your own schedule and plan to attend the wedding if you could.
Nancy, a lot you do hear some people say, oh, you know what? It's 2023. Those old ways don't matter anymore. They haven't explained that to the rest of us, have they? Is that sort of a common mindset that you run up against?
It's interesting, Wendy. People feel like, yes, we're more relaxed. And weddings have, believe it or not, weddings have kind of left the traditional church. They've become more popular to do a destination wedding or on a beach or something of that nature. But at the end of the day, the manners are there. We have to respect that decorum. The bride and groom, it's a ceremony, right? It's a proper, they're making their vows. And so we want to, at the end of the day, you know, be respectful, follow the guidelines, the manners, the etiquette that we would want those to follow if we were getting married. So, yes, I think we are becoming more casual and more loose, but it doesn't apply to weddings. We still have to wear our manners hat.
What about arrival time for guests?
Yes, arrival time is important. You don't want to be the one hanging in the back of that wedding party, and especially if the father of the bride is there giving his last-minute wishes to his daughter. So plan on arriving between 20 to 30 minutes before the start of the ceremony, and I think that's a good rule of thumb.
And you said we should sit on the correct side of the aisle. Do the groomsmen ask when you come to the church?
You know, that's one of those old-fashioned rules that... But it still applies, and if you're friends with both. So, for example, Jennifer, if you are a guest of the bride, traditionally you sit on the left side of the church. On the left side of where the pews are, and conversely, if you're a guest of the groom, you will want to sit on the right side, facing the altar. If you're friends with both, then pick. Pick a seat. It doesn't matter. But traditionally, that's kind of that golden standard.
Nancy, we're already getting questions on the Royal Banks of Missouri text line 84126. And somebody from the 618 says, Nancy, there's a wedding at noon, a reception at 6, and I live 2 hours away. Do I have to go to the wedding? Can I just show up for the reception? And I do think this makes it really difficult for a lot of guests. I guess I understand why the wedding party does it. But some people say, what are we supposed to do in between? We don't want to drink that whole time.
I know. And unfortunately, you know, there's some rules that the churches have to follow in terms of hosting weddings and ceremonies. That's a tough one. It depends. I personally say if you could do both, then the bride and groom would truly especially appreciate you being there for the ceremony. That, quite frankly, is the most important part of their day. The reception's fun. It's a celebration. But to watch them present their vows and say their vows to each other is very, It's just so important to them. I get the time right. Most wedding couples do plan something. They take that into consideration, especially if you're coming a long way. Maybe they'll have a room in the hotel or wherever the event is being hosted, and they'll have just maybe some tea and maybe little finger sandwiches or whatever it is to, as a courtesy and a gesture to say thank you for coming and having this gap here of time before the party begins. It's a personal choice, but if you really want to go the proper road, it's nice to do the ceremony, even though there's going to be a gap there, and attend the reception.
From the 314, Nancy, if someone is not invited to the wedding, should they be invited to the showers?
Okay, that's a good rule of thumb. And if you read the Emily Post books, they say typically if you want to invite somebody to your wedding, then they should be invited to a shower. Some people don't want to have showers for that reason, because they can't invite everybody and people from out of town. They don't want to make an imposition for them to travel. But rule of thumb is if you're not going to ask them, now aside from relatives, family, but you know, your wedding party, they'll be invited to a shower. Of course, they'll attend the wedding. But typically, if it's just a good friends, they'll likely get an invitation to a shower. But if it's just an acquaintance or something, you can still attend. But there are some weird guidelines. People's feelings, I should say, not guidelines, feelings. If it's not so much what you do, it's how you do it. And so if you have the best of intentions, then nobody's feelings will get hurt. And often with showers, just like destination weddings, they're getting so out of hand, there'll be multiple showers. So the bride should be cognizant of ensuring that her close friends get an invitation to a shower.
But you know what has happened, Nancy? I've known people who have been invited to showers held for the bride at work. And they happen to work with the bride, but they're not invited to the wedding. So they are faced with this conundrum: should I pay for a gift?
Mm-hmm. And you know that in those cases, again, there has to be a mind shift of the bride and groom or the person planning. No presents. Just come and celebrate, right? Everybody wants to chip in. They're coworkers. They formed a great relationship with this person. Let's all chip in and get a gift card. It really isn't necessary. What's important is gathering and celebrating them. Maybe chip in and get the cake or get a fun, muffins or cupcakes, whatever it may be. But you don't, I think just, again, being sensitive, if they're not going to be included to the wedding, you don't want them to feel like they need to purchase a gift.
Another thing that always shocks me, and I wonder if it shocks you both, when I see someone, a woman, wearing white at a wedding, you would think most of us were, we had that conversation with women in our lives, whether it was our mothers or grandmothers or aunts, whatever, but we had those conversations early on. Is that a thing anymore, Nancy?
It is a thing, and we've seen the bridezillas come out and on Reddit or on social media saying, this woman had a bridal dress, looked like a bridal dress. We don't ever want to upstage the bride. It is her special day, and the groom's for that matter. So, you bring up another good point too, Wendy, is we want to be cognizant of the dress. So if it's after 6 o'clock, typically that's a more formal affair. And so you'll want to wear a suit and tie. Most likely, it depends on where the venue is. If it's a beach, obviously, it may be less casual. But if it's at a church and a formal venue, like a country club or a hotel or something, you'll want to dress that role. You want to be cognizant and appropriate for the bride and groom, but avoid white women. We don't want to have the white dress, flowy dress, and distract from the bride.
And then, Nancy, what should people spend on a gift? I always thought, and maybe this is crass, I don't know, but I thought you should spend on the gift what they are spending on your dinner.
That's not crass. That actually has been sort of a guideline, Jennifer, but there really is no rule. It's entirely up to you. Again, registries have gotten different. I remember years ago when I tied the knot, we registered for silver and crystal and all these fineries. bride and grooms aren't wanting that today. They want, you know, help with their honeymoon, you know, money to pay for a fun scuba trip or whatnot. So there's no rule of thumb. I strictly say it's whatever your budget can manage. If you're super close to the bride and groom, then maybe you'll want to go, you know, splurge a little bit. You know, I don't like to assign dollar values. Everybody's financial circumstances and relationships are different. You know, just do what you feel is right, and let your budget be the guide. And that, I think that the bride and groom will be grateful, and no bride and groom for that matter should squawk if there's a gift that's not, you know, maybe not what they were wanting. It's a gift, right? And they bought it with the intention of making you happy.
Well, we have a text that's going
to... We got to read this to you, Nancy.
You're going to enjoy this one, Nancy.
I'm scared.
No. From the 314, my mother-in-law-to-be wore white to our wedding.
Ooh, shamey.
Right. And so my question to you, 314-341... Are you still married? I think that's kind of a valid question. Another texter writes, it seems like bridesmaids are getting away from hosting showers and leaving that to family members. Is that a trend that you are seeing as well, Nancy?
And I thought that used to be a no-no.
Yes. Okay. So that's a great question. Now, let's just be honest. Brides today... And I'm not saying they're self-centered, because we all want to have it as special as possible, and we want to look our best. You know, often brides are dieting, and they're everything is
they haven't eaten in weeks. They're crabby,
right?
They're stressed.
They're dangerous.
Their eyelashes are so long you can barely see their eyeballs. No, but what I'm saying is just we have to. Gosh, I just lost my train of thought. Okay, refresh me what we were saying. I was focusing on
about the bride's
the showers
day
being held.
Yeah, you said that you're not, that brides, you don't want to imply that they're any more self-centered than they ever have been, because you know you grow up in a world that says it's your day.
Yes, but at the same time, you know, the events have become more expensive, and then the bridal party, you know, these dresses, and oftentimes they'll have a destination bachelorette party, and so their budgets have been being stretched, and so as a result, grandma will throw the shower or Aunt Sue will throw the shower. But it's not wrong for a relative, but it shouldn't be the mother or the father, right? It should be maybe a cousin or somebody distant, because again, it people may think it's poor form that mom is doing it so that she'll receive more presents, and that's not the mindset. But if you want to be traditional, usually somebody from the bridal, the maid of honor, has all these responsibilities. It's actually her responsibility to coordinate with the bridal party to throw a shower.
Things
are changing, because you know, and I think it's good that things are evolving into maybe a little bit more focused on what the bride and the bridal party are in agreement upon, because they recognize it is expensive to be in a wedding today.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, here's a question from the 618. The bride and groom only want cash. I don't like that. Is it wrong that I want to get them an actual gift?
No. And some people often ask, I know they're registered here, but there's nothing left on their registry except something that one towel or one candlestick. Can I go off the registry? It's the same thing. If they want cash, then they'll get cash. But if you feel strongly against that, then get a gift that you think that they'll appreciate. I will say a lot of East Coast weddings and different cultures give cash, and that's a wonderful thing too. That's what they're, you know, that's part of that ceremony, part of that culture. And so there's nothing wrong with that, but you shouldn't say you want cash, right? You should have things on your registry that provide some variety for people to choose from.
I was on a registry recently where they had group gifts. So they would list a very expensive gift, but you could add to it. They weren't mm-hmm. expecting you to buy the whole thing. You could just put down part of it for whatever you could afford.
I love that. Right. Because China today, and I've looked at registries too, like a dinner plate could be $250 just for one dinner plate, right?
right.
Or more. And so I think that's kind of a nice way of saying, hey, these are the things we really, really want. And we understand that this is expensive. So that's kind of a nice idea. I like that.
This is one that I think we all relate to. I haven't received a thank you note from a bride and groom for the past 5 wedding gifts.
That's unforgivable.
Yes, that's plain rude. I tell the brides, get them out. You know, most people will send the gift before the wedding. Mm-hmm. And so if you have the time, send the note. Often a couple will have nice stationery with both their names on it, or maybe just the bride's name. But, you know, send it out immediately. Traditionally, you have a year, but nobody wants to get their thank you note 9 months or 10 months after they attended the wedding. So that's one of the things that brides and grooms have to be mindful about. Do it right away. And if you're organized, you know, they have all these checklists, these wedding books to help you ensure that you're, you know, doing things in a timely way.
And how long do we have as a guest to give a gift?
Great question.
Yes, yes. Now, we have typically a year as well to send a gift. But again, it's more meaningful when you can do it. You know, you can certainly bring presents to the reception. It's not always great because then the parents and the bridal party and whomever have to ensure that all the gifts get in the car and get back to their house. So if you can send them ahead of time, I think a lot of registries will even have their addresses and it can just be shipped easily. So you don't have to worry about that either. Did they get my gift? Or I hope nobody left it on the table. So, give the gift. Don't wait much past the wedding if you do. It's always nice to have it done before you attend the wedding.
Here's someone, I think this is brilliant. Went to a shower where I addressed my own thank you note. I think that's considerate.
But read the rest of it.
Got
under my skin.
My skin? That because they hadn't received any?
No, it was upsetting to this person that they had to address their own thank you note.
Mm. But
for the bride,
yeah,
you know, I'm giving you a gift, and now I'm also going to write myself a thank you note.
I went to a friend's birthday party, and she said, "Do not bring me a gift, Jennifer. I hate writing thank you notes." So I gave her a gift, and I wrote a thank you note, and it was great. The thank you note was telling me how great I was to choose
that.
This perfect gift, and I put a stamp on it. I let her read it. I left it open.
You know, thank you notes mean so much, and even if regardless of a wedding. You know, if somebody takes you out to lunch or you know, comes to visit you if you're sick, you know, and brings soup or whatnot, it's so kind. And as the recipient of that, you feel it's I mean, you both, I'm sure, can agree. I mean, I keep my thank you notes.
I do, too. Yeah.
They are meaningful to me. And I don't, if somebody takes the time and they say it, it's not like, thank you for the gift, we appreciate it. No, thank you for the beautiful vase. How lovely to think of me in such a wonderful way. We're always going to have it in our living room, so we'll look with fresh flowers on special occasions or whatever it may be. When you can do something and say why it's so special, you know, the lunch was so special because we got to spend time together. You know, those are the things that you as a person like to hear, not so much the act of receiving a note. It's putting thought and meaning into it.
Other people are saying they don't get thank you notes, and somebody else said, I also address envelopes to myself and include them with the gift, which actually I think is sort of considerate.
Yes, and I know people are texting or emailing, and that's okay, but I tell you, the golden rule is, the gold standard is to send a thank you note, especially for the bride and groom, you know, the bride. There's no arguing about that. That is part of her, the wedding formalities. You know, if a guest gives a gift, you send a note, period,
and
the end.
Nancy, before we go, 2 things we haven't covered. Drink responsibly, and about those toasts.
Oh,
heavens. My gosh.
No, I've seen people I look at their watch, roll their eyes, nod their head and sleep. I mean, keep the toast short and sweet. Nobody wants to hear about a 20, 30 minute, you know, they want their food. And also, you know, in terms of drinking responsibly, we don't want to embarrass, you know, yourself or the bride or the groom or anybody else, right? We don't want to be the gossip at the water cooler the next day. We want to be as respectful and gracious. We're attending a ceremony in their honor, so we have to mind our drinking.
But you're not talking about the mother of the bride. That's a joke, Nancy.
Okay. Well,
I didn't know.
That's a joke.
She's so excited to have her daughter or son married. Like,
no,
that is a
joke.
The worst is when the best man gets up and telling stories that tick off the bride.
Oh, my.
I mean, that is so embarrassing.
It is. We've all been witness of some of these toasts, and we're just, our mouth is agape. We're like, what did he just say? Or
and
what did
why?
He just
and it's
say?
Like, it's like, and please speed up. And when you're looking at the father of the bride while the best man is revealing things that he should not be revealing, that time is just interminable, isn't it? It's like never time stands still. Oh, this was great, Nancy.
I have one more quick thing. I think this will be a little nugget people will remember, if anything, of this conversation is a toast. So if you are making a toast to the bride and groom, if you are the recipient of the toast, most people don't know this, but let's say, you know, everybody raise your glass to the beautiful bride and groom. We wish you a lifetime of happiness. We all drink from our fluted champagne glass, but they do not. The groom and bride do not drink. They just smile and just say thank you. So if you are a recipient of a toast, you don't drink. It's like you're toasting yourself, but you toast, you know, everybody else will drink. So
I do.
Oops. Here's to Jennifer.
Oh, no.
Thank you for setting us straight on that. Nancy Schnobel and Ims. You can find her at stlpolish.com. It's so much fun to talk to you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
And we didn't even talk about the best wishes, and we'll come back and we'll cover lots more.
Yeah, this will have to have a part two.
Okay. Thanks, Nancy.
Nancy.
Right. Take care.